agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that gross domestic product, the broadest measure of goods and services produced across the economy, grew at an annual rate of 2.8% in the July through September period. The higher growth mainly reflected companies' moves to replenish inventories and a pickup in spending by state and local governments. But those developments masked worrisome trends, namely weaker overall spending by consumers and companies cutting back on equipment purchases. The price index for personal consumer expenditures, the Fed's preferred gauge for inflation, grew by 1.9%. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending October 31st. Here are the numbers in millions of bushels wheat this year, 15.3, next year, 0.4. Corn this year, 67.7. Soybeans this year, 37.4. And next year, 0.7. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 250,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 2013-14 marketing year, which began on September the 1st. The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says that world food prices increased by 1.3% in October, led mainly by a surge in sugar prices. But food commodity markets overall have become less volatile due to improving production. The FAO's monthly food price index, which measures the cost of a basket of edible commodities, averaged 205.8 points in October. That's 1.3% above September's level, but it's still 5.3% less than October of 2012. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,744. It's up 61 points. The NASDAQ, 3386, up 10. And the S&P 500 is 1771. It's up 5.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Much of the Midwest will experience some net drying conditions for a little while, although it will not be totally dry across the region. The first wave of precipitation to impact any part of the region will actually occur Friday into Saturday as a small low-pressure system moves from west to east across the northern parts of the region. Precipitation totals will run mostly a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 2 or 3 tenths of an inch, and a lot of it will occur as rain, but there might be a little bit of snow near the Canada border. This disturbance will come and go fairly quickly, and there will not be any precipitation in the lower parts of the Midwest. And the second round of precipitation may occur early next week as we get a cold surge coming southward out of Canada. This particular disturbance is likely to bring temperatures down considerably from where they are now, and we'll end up with a little bit of light snowfall coming as the colder air pushes into the heart of the Midwest. The snowfall is not expected to be very significant as it comes across the area with a dusting to 1 inch possible in the majority of the region. The exception to that will be in some locations downwind from Lake Michigan, where several inches of snow may accumulate. This will be during the early to middle part of next week, mostly Monday and Tuesday, though. And we'll expect that those to be the only two precipitation events of significance through the end of next week. And colder air will be working its way through portions of the Midwest during these days that are coming up. But next week will probably be coldest. I don't think the temperature changes that occur over the next couple of days will be all that great. High temperatures this afternoon should run mostly 40s and 50s across a big part of the region. We'll look for a handful of upper 30s in the far northwest. Tomorrow, 40s and 50s again will be fairly common, but we start to warm up a little bit as we get into Saturday and Sunday, with 50 and 60 degree readings likely in the central and eastern portions of the Midwest. And we won't see too much of the warmer air getting up into the Great Lakes region, though. Those areas will probably see afternoon temperatures still in the 40s, and there may still be some upper 30s in the far northwestern corner of Corn Belt Country. But we will see the milder conditions beginning to abate as we go into the early part of next week. Monday into Wednesday, temperatures will turn notably colder. By the time we get to midweek next week, the afternoon temperatures will be confined to the 30s and 40s across a big part of the region, and low temperatures at night will be teens and 20s in the northwest and perhaps some 30s in the southeast. It will not be surprising to see some extreme lows dropping into the positive single-digit readings in portions of the Dakotas and Minnesota when we get into perhaps Tuesday and Wednesday mornings next week. The cold air will dry out the air as well. That may give us an opportunity to get back into some of these fields, especially if we can get the wind to blow fairly briskly for a little while. The evaporation rates may help us get back into some of these wetter fields a little bit quicker. But until that happens, we're not likely to see an aggressive attack on harvest progress. We definitely need to see some areas dry down before we can get back into the fields in an aggressive manner. We will expect to see some increase in field work, however, and we're also expecting to see the weather pattern change again in about 10 days with returning warmer air at the end of next week going into the following weekend. At that point, we'll likely see rain returning to a big part of the Midwest, and another wave of disruptive harvest progress is expected to occur as a result. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is 717 up a half. March 719 and a half down a quarter. Soft December is 654 and three quarters up 1 1/2. March is 664 and a half up 1 3/4. December corn 423 and a half up 2 1/4. July 448 and three quarters up 2 1/4. November soybeans 1263 and three quarters up 3/4. January 1252 and three quarters down 2 1/4. And July is 1225 down 3 1/2. December soybean meal 398 up 120. December soybean oil 4068 down 46. December live cattle 131.85 down 17 1/2. November feeders 164.70 down 15. December lean hogs 87.07 1/2 down 27 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Had export sales for corn of 67.7. million bushels for the week ending October 31st, barely moved the needle. Everybody is fixated on supply.
Yeah, they sure are. I thought that it was interesting that most of that went to Asia, South Korea, and China, those exports. The market is just fixated that we've got a 14 billion bushel plus corn crop and a big yield, and I don't think we're talking much about demand.
Well, at what point do we come back? I guess we have to clear this report tomorrow because it's been 2 months. Tomorrow we'll unwrap it. We'll see if what side of 14 we're on. We'll see what the ending stocks come out because there is moving parts in all this regarding potential increase in export sales, perhaps increases in livestock based on hen sets and egg sets and chickens and the like. So we'll have to wait and see what USDA weighs in, but does the trade begin to think about the demand side heading into the end of the year post this report?
Absolutely. We think on the demand side as soon as we get past this report. And if we've got carry out, Dave, on the corn well above 2 billion bushel, say 2.2 billion bushel, I think there's plenty of room for end users to come in here and try to buy. I think that right now they're pretty unable to accumulate their needs, and we're seeing some pretty good demand out there. The basis is telling you that.
And they're still bottom picking. I mean, South Korea canceled a tender for corn, saying it was too expensive.
Yeah, there is some bottom picking. I think the livestock feeder is beyond that point. I think he is accumulating. I think that so long as we've got a bouncy dollar situation and we also the trend in corn is lower, we'll see some bottom picking.
A word about the livestock side, please.
Livestock side, we, now that we're past that cattle on feed report that showed small numbers, we're finding packers are really just trying to keep their kills pretty slow to accommodate these lower supplies. They're certainly not making any money on either the hog or the cattle side. Still seeing pretty darn high cutout values, although those have slipped on the cattle this week.
And another word about the USDA reports tomorrow before we let you go. Is it possible that we become too bearish?
Oh, I think it is possible, but if we come out with bearish news and we don't get a lot of downside, then I'd say we probably have a temporary low in.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn, 423, up 1 3/4. July is 448 and a half, up 2. November soybeans, 1263 and 3/4, up 3/4. January is 1252, down 3. And July is 1223, down 1/2. December soybean meal, 397.20, up 40. December soybean oil, 40.69, down 45. And December lean hogs are 87.07 and a half, and they're down 27 and a half. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.